Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Star. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha!
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome everybody back to a brand new episode of The Podcast. I'll be the host of this here podcast, Ted Smith, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
The upper left got all his reactions going today. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
What's up, man? You're right. I did just download a new version of Zoom, and some of these reactions are crazy. The pre-show was hype. I'm pumped to get into it, boys.
Yeah, it's funny. People forget when they have those reactions on, and I do some of my therapy sessions over Zoom. We'll be something in deep, and he'll just move his hand, and I'll just be like, he's like, what? I'm like, you made a valid point that I'm going to have to work on myself for, but there was also fireworks as you said it.
Yeah, the lasers really threw off the moment, my guy.
All right, down there, buzzing in from the desert. Now's the time of year where I'm jealous that he lives down there. Matt Cover, the producer, FCTP. What's up, Matt?
Man, it's good to see you, boys. I missed you last week. I didn't know what day it was. I asked someone how their weekend was on Friday.
Living large.
I was battling a little 48-hour flu bug and just was, I don't need to say it on here, but not the good kind of number two movements.
His bowels were eviscerated, for people who are wondering.
Yeah. Wait, that's pretty much what it was. Like, I got home and I was just like, yeah, I'm just gonna chill on the couch for a minute.
And the toilet cast. Just kidding.
Did we miss anything last Tuesday?
No.
What do you mean? As far as news?
Anything big happened?
Aside from the changing of power now.
Yeah. So obviously Trump won. I'll be interested in some of our emails. I will stand by my point that I don't know what decides what's mainstream media and what's not. I guess if it's not on the networks, obviously Joe Rogan has a big effect, but I don't know, man. Like, look, I have a lot of thoughts. I don't know that I have them all in order, but I will say this. I'm not surprised. Like, not surprised at all. I would say B, as a Democrat, I feel like we should be listening to, I would say, guys like me, because there's only a few of us left that are kind of bro culture Democrats, but found out last week, apparently I'm the problem. And then third of all, I just never in a million years thought I'd hear a president I don't think it was official that Trump had won, but he went out and gave that speech. I mean, I knew by 10 o'clock, like, he's won. If you told me in a million years I'd hear a shout out on that stage, first of all, it'd be wild that Dana White's there, but my mind can fathom that. But when he was like, special shout out to the Nelk Boys, Theo Vaughn, I was just like busting with the boys. I was like, what fucking universe are we living in? Like, Joe Rogan, fair. Joe Rogan has the biggest podcast in the world, like, ever. Like, don't fucking Google me on that. There might be some dude doing a one in India because there's fucking a billion people there. But like, Rogan, I get, and I like Theo Vaughn. Like, I like these people. I was just like, all right, that's where we're at, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I think media has been disseminated somewhat. That is wild, though, that like an active, commander in chief is like, shout out Nelk Boys, shout out comedian.
Dana said it, but Dana was on the stage with him.
Yeah.
Matt, did you watch his speech?
No, I did not.
I'm also pretty sure he called him Bryson DeChambeau.
I saw that. I saw that part the next day, but I was just watching Just Shoot Me reruns, tuning the whole thing out, having a great time.
Wait, so you're Matt, going. Given that, like, you were just saying that you thought of Friday, that it was like, a Monday or whatever. What did you just say?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was Monday last Friday.
You're obviously living that gated community lifestyle. You work at a very expensive gated community golf area. Like, what's the vibe inside the compound? You know, what are the elites saying?
We're relatively split. We're, you know, more modern club than some of these old money places. So there's some tensions and like, but ultimately everyone's like chill with everyone else in there. But yeah, I know some people that were in D.C. for Kamala's event that night. That was awkward talking to them. Didn't really ask many questions. Another one was like campaigning for the Democratic Party door to door, pounding the pavement, not just cutting a check. I've gained a lot of respect for them.
One of Ted and my friends just surreptitiously ended up in D.C. at a hotel across from the White House the night of the election. Like work related. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. Yeah. That, yeah.
I didn't see him put it in there, but it had to be the Hay Adams.
Is that, oh, you know the hotels pretty well? Is that what it is?
Well, I mean, you got to keep in mind when you say across the street, there's that park in between, mm-hmm. then there's that church, and next to that church is the AFL-CIO. So there's nothing in between except where I used to work. And then on the other side of the street is the Hay Adams and then a couple other union offices in there. But also, if you ever watched news coverage, like just people reporting from like D.C. live from the White House, oftentimes they'll be on top of the roof at the Hay Adams because it gives you just the shot of like the front of the White House, 1600 Pennsylvania.
I mean, I used to know AFL-CIO was right there.
Well, when George Meany built it, he said he wanted to keep an eye on the president.
Oh, my God. Is it on Pennsylvania Avenue or on the other side?
So our address was 16th and I Street. So 16th runs straight into it. Pennsylvania runs. Wow. Yeah. I mean, look, you can't go on the, it's only the sixth floor, but you can't go out on the balcony when the president's in town without calling the White House and saying, hey, we're going out on the balcony. Because if you do, within seconds, the phone will ring. They're like, this is the Secret Service. Who are those people? Like, what are you doing?
Wow. That's wild. Where were they at that rally?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think most people, you know what, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to say, but you could take guesses. Well, I will say, like, you know, I'm an old school politics person. Like, we don't have to tell everybody who you voted for. I don't think it's shocking. As I said, I feel left out by the Democratic Party. But also, like I said, like, I'm not surprised at all. Like, I think the rank and file Democrat, they're like, can you believe this? I'm like, yeah.
Like, yes, especially in Seattle. They're like, can you believe this?
Yeah. And like, I get it, right? Like, we got to talk about this. We got to talk about that. And it's like, and last week, I was already kind of annoyed with my party. But then last week, it's like, look, I'm not the weirdo here. We also have to talk brass tacks and winning. Do you want to win? Right?
I love to win, Ted.
Everybody wants to win, right? You take a win for your family, you take a win for your team. So it's like some of this we got to think about too, right? Like, you know, Bernie, you know, back at 16, I was a Bernie guy. Bernie had most of the Democrats won. There was some stuff that went on. They ran Hillary.
Were we all Bernie bros back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders is very articulate and really, I would say, embodies a lot of the positions I take.
Yep.
That being said, the, you know, as far as like, wait, God, I totally lost my train of thought. I just hope he gets rid of TSA. That's it. That's what I was going to say. I'm sick of I used to love when you could go to the gate and welcome someone off the plane with a hug. TSA is like 90% of weapons that they test it get through. I should look up the actual stat, but it's something similar to that.
It's pretty high. I'm just saying, like, you can keep blaming me and other Bernie bros. It's like, we have to talk about stuff like, and we have to accept, too, that Barack Obama, we've talked about it. The man could give a speech. It's a different individual, right? People knew him. He had been at the conventions. Like, Kamala, you know, like, I was wearing a wristband around, but, like, she didn't win a primary. Like, this and that. Like, you got to take in, and I know some people will buckle when I say this, we got to take in that this country's a few things, I think. Part of it is sexism.
Like, we gotta say, sexist is one of them for sure.
Yeah. And it's like when people go to vote, there's that little thing in your brain. Look, I'm guilty of it. I remember sitting in a ballot booth once and I hadn't done my research. I was in my 20s and it's like, who should I vote for judge? And I went, I'll vote for the guy. right? Not saying it makes it right, but these are just things that happen in a voting booth, and your voting booth could be in your kitchen table. But I'm just saying, like, and then all week, like, I just was expecting after Trump won, people will be like, oh, we should look at this, we should look at that. And then it was like, you guys are the problem with the party and this and that. I'm like, all right, I'll tell you one thing, Gen Z, whatever that newest one is, like, they don't care, right? And also, we have a very confused country right now. I mean, there were states that went Republican, but yet voted in all these states' laws on abortion. It's like the presidential campaign is different from other stuff, and it's like people won't vote on one issue, which I'm fine with, but it's like, I don't know. It was just kind of shocking. Like, all right, Trump and the Republicans win, but then a lot of these states, people voted for more, like, for abortion and this and that. And it's like, well, I don't know. I just feel like a coach at a game that everybody was like, you're going to win, you're going to win. And then it's after the game, and I'm sitting there with hopefully some of the other coaches, or, and we're arguing about whether or not going for two was what cost us that game. It's like, I don't care about that. Why don't we talk about how we got to that point?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. And I think as far as the abortion thing, you know, who knows what is going to happen. But what I will say is, at least during early parts of the campaign, Trump originally had been saying he's going to leave it up to the states, which, you know, who knows if that's real or just campaign promises or whatever. I do need to shoehorn this fact in here just so that we don't get any angry emails about the TSA. Undercover tests conducted by the Department of Homeland Security have shown that the TSA's failure rate frequently ranges between 80 and 95%. And so just remember that every time you buy an airplane ticket, there's a tax on there of like $18 where you're paying for them to also waste 2 hours of your time in line. End rant.
And you were right. You said 90. That's squarely in that range.
Good. I was like, I'm throwing out wild numbers. I should at least, you know, try to back it up.
Well, look, you got to have some screening, which I'm fine with. But the TSA stuff is a little bit ridiculous, right?
Security, like, theater.
If you pay for pre, you'll have to take your shoes off. But if you don't. And then I've been through other smaller airports. The guy's like, dude, no, just, you're fine.
When the terrorists don't have $80.
Thank you.
It's absurd.
I know they do a background check, but it's like, yeah. Like, I don't know. Let me just tell you one more thing I hate is that everything now on a plane is against federal law. Right. So like smoking, vaping on a plane, I can fathom that. But then it's like, and if you bring your own alcohol, that's against federal law. I'm always like, I want to look this one up.
Yeah, you're getting me a felony for an airplane shot.
Right, is it against your airline? I fully get it. Right. Are you going to ban me from the airline? Fine. But like, it's against federal law.
Yeah. To drink on a plane. Like, that's insane. In Europe, they're drinking in the streets. Doing just fine.
They would have arrested Dirk Bentley years ago.
But the other crazy thing is, you can drink on a plane. You just have to buy it from them. So the federal law is, you got to buy it from us. No moonshine. You're right. That does feel, I never really thought about that because I'm not a big drinker, but that is kind of bizarre.
Right. And I get it. You don't want people getting blacked out drunk and bringing a fifth with them on the plane, which I heard back in the day people used to do. Nice. But I don't know. It's always like, I've always wanted to, I'm saying this has been years. I should just look it up. Like, is it really against federal laws or against your policy? Hell, even if you land in another state and they're like, we agree, we're going to arrest this dude. Like, I'm just, I don't know.
Well,
I don't want to believe it, but maybe Congress sat there and was like, make it illegal.
Well, yeah. And also, I mean, I think the bigger thing really, and what causes a lot of these sort of quote unquote dumb laws, is you can't legislate courtesy. I mean, the real thing there is like, man, if you bring an airplane shot and you're being cool, the stewardess is probably not going to say anything. But if you're being an a-hole, you know, they need some sort of teeth. Some sort of means to correct the situation. So I get that. Same with like weed in Seattle. You can't smoke in view of a public thoroughfare. And what that really means is like, dude, don't be smoking weed on a sidewalk outside of a kindergarten. You know?
Correct.
Be cool. And you can't legislate courtesy. So I don't know. At one point, an attorney said that to me, and I was like, oh, that makes sense.
And that is a good point. All right. I don't know. Matt?
What? Yeah. I mean, I think with the – if we're picking on the airlines, you know, there's a lot of meat on that bone. That's a circus. And yeah, the legalities of all that stuff, like, I don't know. I just take 100 milligram plus edible and mind my business, and I never have any issues. You know, that's kind
Matt,
of my
your solution to everything can't just be, I just eat a little more weed. All seems to work out.
I mean, it's my solution. It works for me, man.
All right.
It's not like I watch rom-coms and laugh hysterically. It's like, didn't take an edible on flights.
Yeah. And you know what? It, like, I hate to say it because I just said that, but God damn it, it is working out for Matt. He's the happiest of the three of us. He's balling out, just crushing cash. Doesn't even know what day of the week it is. Like, Matt's doing fine.
That is a weird one.
You and I that are stressed, Ted. Right.
Like, I'm sure I will have, we'll have talk about this more. I'm sure we'll talk about it in emails. I'm interested to see from our last cast, but I don't know. I guess the only thing I wanted to say on here is, like, I just wasn't surprised. You have the Jill Stein people out there too, which I get, right? But just like, yeah, like I want more than a two-party system. But when it comes down to it, than a presidential race, that's what we have.
No one's, you know, mad at me for wasting my vote on her this year.
What's that?
In the past, I've been like, you're throwing your vote away for voting third party, and I haven't heard that as much this time around.
I mean, it was definitely there. I mean, you know, I think generally a Jill Stein voter is taken away from the Democrats.
Well, and also in other countries, you can do ranked choice, which makes a lot more sense if you're the proletariat.
Yeah.
I will say the only thing that really shocked me is, and I haven't seen the finals, but like, did he won the popular vote too? That's why I was just like,
handily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I was just like, you know, in 16, you want to talk about electoral college, this and that, I'd listen. But I don't know. After last week, I was just like, well, what do you want to do? Right? It's Democratic country. Dude won the electoral college, also the popular vote, first Republican in what, 20, 30 years? Like, all right. Like,
yeah. Well, and that's what I was going to say is, like, you know, what surprises me the most is that people on the West Coast mostly, or people in New York City, are like genuinely shocked that he won. And I'm like, you know, I wasn't necessarily polling for him to win, but I am not shocked. And like, no part of me is surprised. And also, like, doesn't that just speak to how much of an echo chamber you're living in if you were that wrong about, you know, something so major? And I don't think people want to, like, people want to, like, deride it and marginalize it. And it's like, hey, look, whether you agree with his policies or like him as a person or not, there are hundreds of millions of people who do. And, you know, that a lot of those people have been sort of left out to dry by other politicians, and they're pissed off and they voted that way. And so, I don't know. It just seems like on the liberal left side now, they just want to, like, be like, oh, it's impossible. Like, there's no way this could have happened. And it's like, well, that's a little naive, I think.
And my girlfriend and I were talking, if I were to make my Facebook profile picture an American flag and said, God bless America, someone would call me a Nazi, like, for loving the country. Like, it's just out of hand. And I love America. I'm always rooting for whoever wins the presidency, no matter what, and for us to prosper and people to be happy. And lately, it's just gotten so heated that, like, people have a problem with that. And I'm like, man, yeah, I like America. I pledged allegiance my whole childhood. It's tight.
Yeah. I mean, I think you could still, like, right? Like, obviously, I'm a Democrat, but, like, I'm fine with all that stuff. I will say this. I do think, first of all, the point back to Cobbs a little bit, it's like, what if, because I know plenty of Republicans that are like, I can't stand Trump, but I wish we had a better candidate. Like, that's what I think both parties need to really look at.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of candidates are we running, right? Because you can hear a lot of people talk about they didn't like Kalama, or Jesus, now I'm doing it. Kamala, and like, she didn't run a primary, this and that. So, like, to me, they were, I was like, if I had my choice, I wouldn't vote for either of those two, right?
Yeah, same.
But it comes down to it, you have to vote for one or the other. because frankly, right, the third party's not going to win. But yeah, that's my annoyance. Matt, I don't think it's right to call anybody with an American flag, and I certainly wouldn't a Nazi. I think the Nazi word got thrown around a lot a couple weeks ago. But I will say again, I do think they hijack some of those words, right? Like, I know a lot of people that can't stand Trump that would, I would still call a patriot that served our country. But the word patriot now, it's like, you're a Trump
charged.
Yeah. Just like, damn it.
Well, and an extreme Trump person at that.
Yeah.
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 I, like, think I mean, they sell products on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think certainly the quality of candidates has gone down over time. And I think that's because, you know, most reasonable people realize that, like, that is a, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown. And most, like, you know, rich, otherwise sophisticated or smart people, like, they don't want that job, which I get it. But it used to be a real position of respect. And now they're sort of a figurehead and punching bag, which is too bad. So, yeah, I do think we have a real talent problem.
Yeah. I will just end on this before, as I want to talk about Oregon. I just hope some of those extreme things on the right do not go into place. Like, right, like, whether you want to talk about it or not, it's not a great part of our history, but, like, yeah, what happened to the Native Americans is terrible, right? Like, a lot of the country was built on slave labor or the Chinese immigrants building the railroads. So, like, I just hope we don't lose fact of history. History's not always going to be on your side or look pretty, but I truly believe you need to know it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is weird. That's the thing that's sort of a little concerning about the Department of Education stuff. I think it's interesting returning it to the States, but certainly, you know, there are groups who have a really distorted view of history. And of course, history, you know, it's tough to tell what happened. But as far as, like, you know, separation of church and state, I think it's going to cause some real issues in the South in terms of what people are being taught in schools. But we'll see. I mean, the Department of Education does, you know, is not without its issues too. So I think it'll be, I think the one real silver lining of this for me in this election is that we are, you know, the U.S. government has just been deadlocked and unable to move for so long, having the, you know, the Senate and the House split, or not having the judges, or not having the executive branch, and having them all on one side does pave the way for lack of a better word, progress. Not that that's necessarily the most apropos, but for moving forward in a cohesive way. And I do think that that system is about checks and balances, but I do think that it has been co-opted by things like filibusters and, you know, some of the voting schemes to inhibit progress, like specifically in Western medicine. And so I'm interested to see if there is some meaningful progress made over the next 4 years. So, yeah, that's the silver lining for me. But it could also be progress in the exact wrong direction. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, and remember, you know, years ago, that's why it was checks and balances, right? Like, I think it's good to have some in charge, some not in charge. But people also used to go across the aisle, whether it was Republicans talking to Democrats or Democrats talking to Republicans, and you would agree on this stuff. Whereas I feel like, I don't know, seems like since 2000, like, it's just been like, all right, fight. So,
well, yeah.
I hope I'm wrong. I mean, there's a lot of stuff about the Trump stuff that scares me, but I'm just like, all right, let's, you know, see what happens. But yeah, control of that, especially for the Democrats, that's scary. A lot of the stuff you wanted is not going to go through, and Supreme Court justices live for a while, and there's two that are going to, I can almost bet you hundreds of dollars, will leave in the next 4 years so that they can get two more seats.
Which makes for a pretty packed court.
Yeah. All right. Now, let's talk to a hotter button issue. College football. Oh, by the way, all right, one more thought on the election thing. I saw somebody get a lot of retweets. It said it's the Yellowstone crowd versus the Ted Lasso crowd in this election. I was like, those are two of my favorite shows. I really think both sides of you, like, we don't have to be all Yellowstone. We don't have to be all Ted Lasso. Like, there is a lot of us in the middle.
Yeah, silent majority, man. We're cut from the same cloth.
So my brother flew out. Going to drive down to Eugene, Maryland. at Oregon. Also, my brother, last time he was out here this summer, was with his family. So, you know, you do nicer stuff. But he was like, hey, man, he listens to the podcast. He's like, I want to eat some of this fast food you guys are always talking about.
Yes.
So that was part of the trip, right? He gets in Thursday night, take him to my local watering hole, and then, like, we got Dick's. Got it, you know.
What do you think?
Good move or bad move? As three of us in the car, as we get out, I go, Chris, you're on your own here. You got to figure out your Dick's order.
Wow, dude, that's, I mean, I feel like...
It's only one way he's going to learn to swim.
Love it.
Yeah, but that's, bro, that's like an ayahuasca spirit quest. I mean, people live and die by their Dick's order. Like that, you know, it's like a spirit animal. You don't choose it, it chooses you. I think ultimately you made the right move, but that's he's your older brother, but that's an older brother move. You threw him in the deep end and you're like, good luck, buddy. I hope you know how to swim. What did he order? I mean, I'm a huge Dick's guy. I think people probably know that. If not, they should. But yeah, what was his move? What's this guy made of?
Deluxe, cheeseburger, fry. I think I was the only one that got a shake.
Strong. That's yeah. Strong.
And he had been showing. Flying all day, so it wasn't that late for like me and my buddy Sean, but like I had the next day off. So I mean, like, I got two deluxes, fry, vanilla shake. Took down a deluxe in the fry, vanilla shake. He went to bed. I hit the old the ganja a little bit and then fired that other deluxe back up.
Perfect.
Nice, dude. That's honestly well played.
Yeah.
Not a lot of shit I can talk about that.
All right. So the next day we hit the road. First we stopped at what's it, the Ilion? That super big casino in Vancouver, Washington. Right,
oh, yeah, like Portland. The Alani or whatever.
The Alani. Like that? Yeah. Because yeah. They have a sports book. Also, I mean, I'm an Emerald Queen guy through and through, but like that casino was nice, man.
Yeah, so, they just redid it, right?
All right. So I just never knew it was there. But yeah, I had to drive down to Portland a bunch in the last year. So like I always passed it. So we go in there. And at this point, we know we're Maryland. We're playing number one Oregon. Spread's 24. So we're like, all right, let's all put $20 on Maryland to cover. Put wow. Some other bets out there that night. And we had some.
Have you seen those
on.
Running backs?
Jesus. Next stop after that, In-N-Out in California. I have been on this podcast talking about how much I love the Dick's Deluxe and this and that. Matt might be right on this one. I mean, the fries suck, but God damn, that double-double. That thing's just hitting. Anyway, I got an animal style. It was unreal.
That's insane.
Yeah. You mean in Kaiser, Oregon?
I guess so. Yeah. It's in between, like, I don't know, maybe right before Corvallis?
Yeah.
For some reason, call me an Oregon purist. I thought you were going to hit Burgerville.
Okay.
The ultimate Oregon spot.
So that was on the list because I talk about it, but we never fit it in.
What was that your first time having an out, Ted?
Nah, I've had it down in Cali and I've had it in Vegas a couple times. Okay.
But back to back with Dick's, that's a good comparison. What did Chris think?
I mean, he's gonna sound like the standard person, but fries, Dick's, burger, In-N-Out.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, In-N-Out's, it just hits, man, every time. I'm still not tired of it, and we go quite a bit. It's 2 miles down the road.
I mean, Ted, how many Maryland fans did you guys even see in Eugene? Like, there's got to be right. Like, three.
So then we roll into Eugene. Our buddy, the mayor, is at like their version, I'd say like University District or University Village. So he's like, yeah, pick me up. We have to walk through the remnants of like a pep rally for Oregon. Right. And before we go in there, like I'm wearing a Smith Family popcorn hoodie. Take that off. Now I'm just wearing a red with gold lettering Maryland shirt. I'm like, Chris, take your hoodie off. We got to let them know Maryland fans are in town. And I mean, right. I had a couple beers at the casino. Maybe a shot. Right. Like, I mean, my chest is puffed out.
You guys come here for the murder.
Right. No, nobody cares. Nobody's saying a word to us. We get into like the little area where Joe is drinking and like, I'm telling, there's not a ton of us. There was more Maryland fans than you expect, but like, there's a dude checking in. You could see him across the way in the lobby, and it's just like, go Terps. And he's like, hell yeah. Also, I'm going to screw up her last name, but Sabrina was sitting in the same cocktail lounge. And Anowski, she played at Oregon. Like, Kobe used to go up to see her play. She's on the New York Liberty. She's one of the top five. And Anowski, one of the top five women basketball players in the world. So she's sitting over to the side. So my buddy's like, dude, that's her. Like, we got to go say hi. And I'm like, we should. Like, nobody's talking to her.
Oh, yeah. Anowski. Sorry.
Yeah. Anowski. Yeah. She's clearly like with her boyfriend, which you realize later is an NFL player, ex-NFL player. But I don't think Sean and I give off the look of your average WNBA fan. Right. And he's like, hey, I don't want to interrupt you. She's like, no, it's fine. He's talking to her. I come over. All I get out is, you're a stud. Congrats, champ.
Oh, my God.
But I was like, we're Maryland fans, but you're a stud. Congrats, champ. Cobb, you're right, though.
Ted, it is the weirdest thing who you decide to, like, get nervous around. Like, you've been with some of, like, the most massive celebrities on the planet, not even flinched, interview them, whatever. And then, like, the people you choose to clam up around blows my mind.
Like, well, I mean,
Dolphin Girl and Sabrina Ionescu. Right. Unreal. Unreal, dude. Unreal.
But you're not wrong. There were so few Maryland fans. We go out, we check into our place, go out in Eugene that night. We went to like their version of what I would say is like the show box.
Okay.
Not only have they not seen a Maryland fan in here, like, this is not where sports fans go on Friday night. Like, I was, I would say it was more like Elko, and I love Elko.
Wow.
But I take for granted that I run in like hard rock circles where I don't look like a hard rock guy. I mean, I'm in a red, bright red Maryland shirt, and I'm just, everybody's in black, like dudes, everybody's got eye makeup down their cheeks. And I mean, you could feel like the music's loud. You can hear it go silent when we go in there.
Oh,
like, all right. You know me. What do you want, boys? Hey man, you got cans of Rainier? Just like, right. I'm always like, stay on the path. Don't flinch. Right. Like, we could.
Don't let them see you sweat.
Right. They're not going to attack us, but like, they're not pumped we're in there. Let's not let them turn on us and look like pussies.
Yeah, exactly. There's an implied threat of violence, but you can't pause. You can't hesitate. Otherwise, you look like prey.
Right. There's one booth next to the bar. Clearly, that's like the booth to have. We're sitting right here, boys. It's like a circle booth. I'll sit dead center. He's like, I've been in here 100 times.
Power move.
Go ahead, Matt.
I said power move.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm saying. And then, like, we watched a couple of the bands, but we went to another bar later, and my buddy was wearing a Maryland hat, and the guy's like, I gotta get a picture. And for some reason, he took it off. And the guy's like, no, 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 man. Put the hat on. I want people to see I met an actual Maryland fan.
Yeah, not you. The hat.
There wasn't a ton of Maryland fans, but there was more than I expected. We hit up Rennie's on Saturday morning. That's like the bar you go to if you're a student or alumni. We were drinking pitchers of Twisted Teas.
Wow.
When's the last time you saw Twisted Tea on a handle?
I mean, I'm not really a drink shamer type person, but it does, the way you told that story, it does sound like Oregon cut your nuts off the night before.
Oh, just,
oh, the I'm Maryland standing fans having some Twisted Teas, getting wild. That, honestly, that's awesome, though. Who cares? As long as you guys had fun.
Right, you're at a college bar? I was like, I looked at my buddy, I go, we're getting a pitcher of Tweez and a pitcher of Coors Light. Like,
bring them out. Bring them out.
Awesome. No, it was cool. I was rocking an Old Bay knit cap. So like a few fans, there was a couple Maryland fans, and they were just like, oh, what are you guys doing here? We're like, what are you doing here? One guy's like, found a flight on Southwest, just said, fuck it, and came out.
Oh, that's awesome. Wait, so what, I didn't watch the game. What was the score and did they cover?
I don't remember the exact score, but yes, they covered.
They covered? Let's go.
They covered. Yeah.
I'll look it up and right now. That's awesome.
We had really good seats, but like, again, sorry to my Husky fans. You know, I'm still a Husky fan, but like, Otson rocks, dude. Wasn't the loudest place I've ever been to, but it was rocking and rolling. That fucking Puddles comes out. I know his name's no Puddles, whatever. The Duck comes out on a motor on the back of another dude's motorcycle, and like the team's raging. The cheer squad is top notch.
Oh, Oregon. Yeah.
Yeah. Matt, every third down. Do you remember Wolf Mother? I'm pretty sure it's the Joker and the Thief. Every third down. People are just going nuts. Like, it got to the point in the second half where, like, Maryland would, like, come up short on a second down. I was like, oh, here they go again. They're going to go fired up.
Wow. And so did you, so 18 to 39. So that was a track meet you went to. Did Maryland you guys end up getting your money from the casino?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. We did the full, and also, like, we forget as we live out here, that was the first time not to or from Burning Man I had driven through the Willamette Valley.
Oh, yeah. Willamette, the Willamette. Yeah.
The Willamette. That's right. They kept yelling at us. Willamette, damn it. That is beautiful, man.
Oh, people sleep on Oregon's beauty, but yeah, the Willamette's amazing, and the Umpqua too.
Yeah, that was beautiful. And for, like, my brother, I didn't really think about, because Friday was shockingly, like, sunny and nice up here. So he's seen Mount Rainier, but then he's like, what's that? And we're like, Mount St. Helens. He's like, no shit. It's like, you fathom on the map where they are, but it's weird to see him in person. That's like, all right, that's Adams. That's Mount Hood.
Yeah. Like, just a, yeah. And Eugene is, like, so lush too. I mean, that's, dude, that's cool that he got to see that. That's so far from, you know, the mid-Atlantic.
Yeah. And we did, like, the old man thing, right? Like, we started at Rennie's, and then, like, and the mayor's alumni. So we walked all through the campus, like, took some pictures. When you go to the stadium through campus, dude, you cross on, like, a real river, and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude.
And I fathom that Nike and Phil Knight, but Matt, these were the nicest facilities you've ever seen in your life. I mean, everything looks like it was built yesterday.
Yeah, they spared no expense.
Yeah. Yeah, but just, and honestly, like, the Ducks fans are brutal. We met a few who were just like, F you guys. But everybody pretty much was nice. They seemed super impressed we were there. And then, yeah, man. Stadium was rocking and rolling. They were laughing with us when they were like, what are you guys cheering for? It's like, we need them to cover. We all bet $20 on Maryland to cover. Like, at no point did we think, and I'll tell you guys off the air, what was the celebration from us if Maryland had won, it involved bad things happening to that Duck. But right,
bad things happened to the Acropolis.
We were realistic. Like, we're down here to cover.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Oregon is just an absolute machine right now. They are just stacked, and their offense is so potent, you know, as evidenced by the 39 they hung up on you guys. I mean, covering is actually pretty impressive.
Yeah, and like, as many college football games I go to, it's rare to see the number one team in the country in their stadium. You know what I mean? Like, we saw Michigan against Washington, but that was the Natty. Like, yeah, I was just like, as a college football, I kept trying to put the Husky part of me just like, chill out for a day. But I was just like, this is awesome. I mean, at one point, my one buddy looked at me and he's like, they're cheering against you. I was like, I'm getting caught up. Like, keep playing Wolf Mother. Like,
well, and if you think about it too, you know, your brother's
Matt, you know prediction. Me.
Yeah. Your brother's prediction ultimately came true.
Yeah.
Which is 4 weeks ago, he said, oh, Maryland should be paying me to go to games. And now they did.
And then on the way out Sunday, yeah, we stopped at a Voodoo Donut.
Nice. Which, the one in Portland or somewhere like downtown Portland?
They got one in Eugene.
Wow, dude. That's, yeah. I could talk about that for an hour, but we don't need to.
Yeah. Well, you'll like this. The girl working, I was like, have you been to the other stores? And she's like, which one? I was like, Austin. She's like, I haven't been to that one. I'm dying to go to Austin. And I realized that I'm wearing my Haller Brothers hat as I'm like, you know, I've been going to Austin a lot lately.
Texas Ted. And Ted, by the way, now we got two Voodoo Donuts.
Yeah, and then we just stopped at the casino on the way home. And then the end of the trip, because of our podcast, my brother was like, yep, we'll go to a taco time.
Yes. Nice. Did you tell him what's good to order there? Or I always just follow Matt's advice and go natural soft taco.
So that if you're just going to get one, natural soft taco is the way to go. But if you, to me, if you're going, I have an order. Crisp beef burrito, tots, and then a chicken soft taco.
That's respectable. Matt, you're the biggest Taco Time guy out of all of us. How do you feel about that order?
I mean, it's solid. Yeah, I mean, for a first timer, I think that's great. What you set them on the right path. I like that classic chicken burrito because I still don't know anywhere else that puts ranch in a burrito. And so it's like the combination of ranch in a burrito and tots is just like, what the hell are we doing here, guys? And they're like, hitting a goddamn grand slam out of the park. Like,
yeah, it's something special.
Yeah.
I will say, through all this fast food, like I was doing, like, we're at that Rennie's bar, and like I realized at a certain point, like, I'm like, are me and Rob the only one drinking this tea? And I'm like, you guys don't want any tweez or whatever? And like, at least two of the people in our group was like, my stomach is killing me right now. And I'm like, oh, all we ate were bags of chips, like fast food for 2 days. Like,
shocking. Well, and then you're confronted with the classic, do you shit at a bar? Especially a student bar day after game day. I'd say no.
I will give Rennie's this. That is a very nice, like, it was much nicer than I expected. I was like, oh, they, like, this is alumni. Everybody goes here. Also, I was very pumped because the Uber was like 7 minutes out. And I was like, oh, there's the sign. Let me get out this second deuce and I'll be good for the day.
Oh, Jesus. That's so funny. That's how we're so different. Like, with an Uber on the way, that would give me anxiety just trying to squeeze a deuce in, public deuce, in that short of a time period.
Oh, no. This was too still at the house. Oh, I was clean. By the time I left to go tailgate, boys, I was clean.
Nice.
That's great.
It does feel good when the engine's just running clean.
Yeah. And I knew what that day had ahead of us. It's either porta potties or you're going to have to poop in a stadium with 65, 70,000 people in it.
Did anybody do any stadium food or no?
I think my brother, he got a pretzel. That came back to haunt us later. Trust me, we went out afterwards and it ended. Most of us were back home by 9 p.m. Like, dude, I'm physically tired. We walked like 4 miles all around campus. I was like, we've been drinking for, you know, beers for 12 hours. I was like, I'm ready to go home, put on a pair of sweatpants. We can order a pizza.
Yeah. Time to shut it down.
Yeah.
Wow. That sounds awesome, man. Great trip.
Dude, it was so much fun. And like it was cool going to the Maryland tailgate, but like, this was the alumni network. They had like the official one outside the stadium, which I thought was ours. And I'm like elbowing my brother, like, and he's not even drinking, right? And he's like, that's not us. That's VIP. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Could be us. And as we walk by, there's like Kevin Plank, the owner of Under Armour, sees us and he's like, let's go, Terps. And I'm like, that's clearly not our tailgate.
Oh. If he said that, I'd be like, get us in there, Kev.
I thought about it.
You could have, dude. Like, you could have.
Half our group was rolling like I am, like just back on it. The other half of the group was not. So I was like, I think we just walk in there.
Yeah. That's, you got to have the momentum for sure. You have to have the confidence.
Yeah. If there hadn't been five of us, I think it would have been fine. Oh, and for the record, the mayor and I on the walk home, in the crowd, I go, let's walk off this trail. And he's like, for what? I was like, let's do a jersey exchange. And like one drunk guy walking by was like, they're doing a jersey exchange. And in my head, I was like, yes.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so ridiculous. I love it, man. And Eugene is an awesome place. I've always wanted to go to Autzen Stadium, never been, but like, God, getting to see number one Oregon in their own stadium, even if they're beating up on your Terps, like, that's still pretty magic. Plus with your brother there, man. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, it was just good, like, hanging out, making stupid jokes and just stuff like that. The fact that one drunk dude recognized we were doing a jersey exchange, like, sports guy.
Also, by the way, Ted, if Oregon does end up in the Natty, GD said we're in.
That's going to be harder for me to get off work after a week and a half off to be like, now I'm going to watch Oregon play.
Hey, you're a college football guy. They knew what they were getting when they signed that contract.
That's also fair.
Don't right, let them make your personality your problem. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, let's take a break here, and then we'll come back with emails, what's matter in the cob topic. All right. Welcome back. As always, thank you to our sponsors and to our non-sponsors, Dick's and In-N-Out. Yeah. And Taco Time. By the way, we have been anti-Mexi fries. Taco Time, we love you, but they're tots.
Yep.
I got stuck in an hour-long goddamn conversation about whether they should be called Mexi fries or not. And finally, I was like, not the point. My point is they're tots.
Boys, I hate to be that guy, but I'm actually pro Mexi fry. Let me tell you why. I think it's one of the greatest rebrands of all time. I mean, you think about like from a business perspective, you have somebody buying a taco, a burrito, it's $5, $7. You have somebody buying a meal, that's like $11. And you multiply that over, you know, what do they have, 210 locations and probably 300 customers a day? That's a big number increase in that cart size. The thing is, you can't really make a meal with just a burrito and a drink. So for the genius, it took them to be like, all right, what is the cheapest fry? Like, we can't hand you fries with a taco, right? That mind space is taken up. But maybe, you know, an equivalently inexpensive item, the lowly tater tot, but we rebrand it. And somebody at some point was sitting in a meeting room and said, Mexi fry. And everyone nodded in agreement. And it was so. And they probably made, you know, I would guess, you know, at least $40 million off that. So I'm pro Mexi fry. Sorry, boys.
You think they would have sold less if we called it a Mexi tot?
What's the difference? I thought Mexi was the part in question.
This is how I got stuck in this conversation.
Wait, so you don't care that it's Mexi. You care that it's fry or tot?
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying my argument when we used to have it years ago on the cast was like, we love you, Taco Time, but like, this just aren't fries. And now they call them something different fries. I'm like, I think they missed the plot.
I assumed people's people being upset with it was because it was like a Mexi fry. Like it was like, you know, like that it was that they were subtly implying that the Irish potato was Mexican.
Look, there's not a lot subtly, of people that were upset overtly with that. And I'm not saying I'm for it or against it. My
you're not that guy. You're the fried talk guy.
Back to the Democratic stuff. I'm just getting down to bare bones here, boys. It's just not a fight.
You know, I don't need the land acknowledgments, okay? There's beer and there's light beer.
Oh, you know what?
I don't care if the beer was made on sacred land.
Yeah, you're right, Jürgen. I guess it's not a true Pilsner. Do you want one or not?
Like, I don't know if it was the Navajo were drinking them, okay? Could have been anybody. What part of your body do you get compliments on? Good evening, gentlemen of the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
First, Cobb, this is the same Kelly that emailed last week, and I am indeed of the male variety. I assume you thought my mom in the picture was me, but if only you knew that she is a Tammy.
Good reference.
As for the body part that I get the most compliments on, it'd have to be my beard. I'm 37 and I have that salt and pepper coming in, and sometimes the chicks just can't help but compliment it. I also routinely shave my entire beard off every month, and the hairdresser always freaks out when I ask her to do it. She loves my beard, but I just tell her it'll be back in a week. Thanks for all you do, Kelly. Yes, still male.
That's impressive. He can grow a beard back in a week.
Yeah.
Also, okay, good.
To say, like, I like my beard right now, but I want to grow back in the underneath part, but that requires me to shave the whole thing off first, and those are just going to be an ugly like 5.5 months.
Dude, I'm going to disobey one of our rules here on the podcast, which is only reading the name that they put on here, only because I should have known that this Kelly was a male because he's got such an epic last name and probably, you know, probably the accompanying weaponry. But his name's Kelly Hogg. I got the feeling this guy's got a hog. So that's my bad. Sorry for calling your mom out as a potentially attractive woman, Kelly.
That word's coming back with a vengeance.
What is?
Hog. Like, I hadn't used it in years. And then, I don't know, we started using it here, cranking down.
Crank down.
I blame you, this podcast, for this one, but like, it got thrown around a lot this weekend.
That's awesome. I remember originally hearing that on Workaholics. I thought it was so funny. Body part compliments. Shout out to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
A few months ago, I included a picture of myself in an email for a Cobb topic, and Cobb said, "This guy fucks." I'd be lying if that didn't lift my Hell yeah, dude. And he does fuck. I'd be lying if that didn't lift my spirits for at least a couple days. I would say I get most compliments for my face. Not to suck my own too hard, but I have a nice face with a pretty pretty sick jawline. Isaac. Yeah, Isaac's got a hog. You can just tell by his energy.
There's a direct correlation between jawlines and hogs.
Big hog energy, dude. I can feel it. It's written all over this email. You know, just a couple, like, no punctuation, just a couple quick bullet points. Like, this guy f***s. Trust me, bro. Trust me.
Trust me.
See it a mile away, dude. It's oozing confidence. Cobb. Thought you'd find this video interesting. It's a breakdown of a national anthem flyover from one of the pilots in the video. And to answer a cop topic, if I could pay $2,000 to do something, I would definitely cough up the cash to spray champagne in the locker room after a World Series victory. Cheers, Brian Harvey. That's awesome.
I'll be tight.
Oh, what's up, Brian? I love that. Yeah,
congrats on the kid.
I was gonna say, yeah, congrats on the kid, man.
Yeah, nice to hear from Brian. I just opened that video in a separate tab, so as soon as this cast is over, I'll watch it. That's awesome. But
that's what's funny. Even, you know, my brother asking about, like, the fast food places we talk about. I'm like, when do I talk to you about Taco Time that much? He's like, your podcast. I'm like, oh, yeah. So you forget, like, Brian's still out there. It's how we know him, but they're still out there.
Talk about with Taco Time a lot on this cast over the years.
Right? I just didn't register in my brain, but I get when he's like, the podcast, I was like, yep, that adds up.
Go Dogs. What it do, party people? The internet single-handedly we were talking about things that the internet got rid of. The internet single-handedly choke-slammed travel agencies. Discuss, Marco, your sorority chef. I've attached two tickets to the UCLA game coming up. I live in Pullman and can't make it. Figured Ted could use them, or at the very least, y'all can find someone that can use them. LARP on, mother fellas.
First of all, thanks for the tickets. I am not going to use them, but I've already sent them to somebody else.
That's awesome.
Well, it's a Friday night game, which kind of sucks because a lot of people work on Fridays, but it's the last home game. So, I mean, it's your last chance to tailgate in Seattle as a Husky fan.
That's true.
Travel agency did die along the way, which it's just easier to do that stuff, but that is... I don't know. We only did it a couple times, I think, but it was kind of sweet to go and sit down and somebody's like, okay, I'm going to order your plane tickets and this and that. Take this and it's all there.
I'm kind of happy they're gone. I like doing my own last minute arrangements. I'm a big Hotel Tonight guy, that app. And I don't know. I feel like the flexibility is what appeals to me. So RIP travel agents.
Well, yep. My girlfriend works for a travel agency. They're still around. They do more corporate stuff these days.
Idiots.
Come on, guys.
That's true. It is like a niche travel agency. Can you say what she does or not really?
No, I know, but yeah, I mean, there's some high-end work out there. And, you know, when you're dealing with teams of people, being able to streamline it and have internal tools kind of like a Hotwire or whatever for your company is pretty bitching. But yeah, it's come a long way from, you know, the 90s.
Yeah. Well, that's I feel bad people lost their jobs in that industry, right? And it was kind of easy. But I also get Cobb's point. It is nice the average person can do it. But I would also say, I think for her industry, sometimes you just need somebody to kind of help people along.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, even it was kind of nice for a change. I was like point on this tailgate trip, right? Because you're coming out to the Northwest and this and that. And it's like, it's not a ton of work, but just like, well, if we just left all five of us on our own, like None of this would have got done. Or it would have been all last minute. Would have been in the last goddamn row.
Yeah.
Top topic and a sincere note. The internet killed a lot of things. Intimacy between couples, snail mail, male and female confidence, open houses for real estate agents. But for everything it killed, it created something great. Porn, email and instant messaging, resources for physical and mental health, easy house hunting through Redfin, Zillow, etc. Just like life, the internet can be a good or bad thing depending on your perspective. Honestly, well said.
Yeah, good job. Agreed.
On an unrelated note, I just wanted to say thank you, sincerely. I found, quote-unquote, the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land. Send those balloons.
I don't know why those balloons went off when I did that, when I did the air quotes. through Ted and KISW, but it's become a regular part of my weekly routine for about a year now. Life has been extremely stressful and chaotic in the last several months. Sorry to hear that. And every time a new episode of the podcast is released, I get a little reprieve. Every episode is guaranteed to make me laugh and smile the whole way through. You guys genuinely bring me joy. So I'll leave you with this. The same thing I tell anyone who has had a significant impact on my life. Sometimes I struggle with the idea of how insignificant we are as a human species in the grand scheme of the entire cosmos. Time will continue to go on whether we like it or not. And when we inevitably die, most of us will have little to show for it. I struggle with this because I constantly think about how I can make a significant impact on the world and other people and leave a legacy behind me for decades to come. You guys likely don't view your podcast this way, but you're making a huge positive impact on my life and that of several others. This belabored compliment is a way of explaining that what you guys do is having a real impact on others. You're all very important people to us, and you should know that you can rest easy knowing you've made a positive impact on society. Thanks for all the laughs, and LARP on, mother effers. Spencer from Tenino.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Tenino. My bad, dude.
Appreciate that, Spencer. And you're right. It is. I don't know about these two guys, but it's hard for me sometimes. You just kind of forget because it's just us doing.
Yeah. I honestly mostly forget people are listening, which weirdly, I think it's been kind of helpful because then we can just, it's like just chatting with Ted. Because I spent like 3 years trying to get Ted out of radio mode and into like, oh, we're just BSing, because that's truly when he's at his funniest, when he's like not trying to censor himself. And, you know, because he's just so naturally funny. And so now I feel like I've just reverse Uno'd myself and done it to me. But anyway, I agree. Oh, and I'm sorry. The last thing I wanted to end with was that I read this quote on Twitter and I totally agree with it, which is, I'll say this to you, Spencer. I think that you're likely radically underestimating the ceiling of what you're capable of in basically every way. And I'd bet on that at a large multiple.
All right.
Boys. And that applies to everyone who listens too. I think people really undervalue themselves and sell themselves short and don't realize what they're capable of. All right.
Yeah. Well, and look, you see it again. This, I'm going to make a sports analogy, but like you see it every week or stuff, right? And you think about some of the greatest players in any sport, like there's times where they just fucking sucked. And it's not that they sucked that bad or they were having a terrible game. Like, who knows? Something going on in their personal life, like just miss something by that much. It's like, yeah. Yeah, I guess I'm trying to say this, like, everybody's going to doubt themselves and everybody has that upper level too.
Oh, yeah. And likely your goals and aspirations are set by your peer group, not the reality of what you're capable of. And we're sort of mimetic in our desire that way and self-limiting.
And birds aren't real.
And birds are likely not real.
I've never seen a baby pigeon. Have you?
You ever seen when a bird does that little like robot head turn? Yeah. What other creature does that? That's what I thought.
I will say, I believe ducks are real.
Oh, Ted, I almost accidentally brought up the story you said in the break. Let's move on. I don't know anything else.
Ha 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 ha. the dugout. We even go find out tonight. All right, let's check in with what's happening. Shout out to Matt for doing the editing.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to what's happening.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa.
Check out what's happening.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa.
Before we get to what's happening.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa.
Check out what's happening.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was dope email, Spencer. Thank you. Yeah, I when I was at KISW, I could see the numbers of how many people listened, and I would check it out every once in a while and like be like, whoa, people do listen. But like an email like that, like, and knowing George and just a lot of people we've met at the parties and stuff, like, we got some dope, smart listeners, and like, that's more fulfilling to me than any of the numbers. It's like the quality of listeners that we seem to attract really means a lot to me. It's very self-serving at this point. I just like hopping on here and seeing you two and just chopping it up. And that's really the extent of how I think about it throughout my week. So that was really cool to just kind of reflect on that. Thank you, Spencer. As for my weekend,
started on Friday night.
Huh?
Just reminding you, weekends start on Friday evening.
Friday evening. Yeah, Friday. I thought it was Monday. I asked someone how their weekend went, because Friday was a busy ass day at work. I had like 9 clients and just all.
Dude, that's like a 4D chess move out of you. Just got to say, like, at the gated community, and you're like, how was your weekend on a Friday? If you're like, dude, what game is this guy playing?
Yeah, you have the best. It's always the weekend here. That's what I always say when I do that. It's not the first time I've done that. Also, because, like, my clients, a lot of them are Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So I'm seeing them just out of the weekend or right into it, and I just get mixed up. But it felt like a Monday to me because it was, like, the first real-ass day of work. Like, there's a lot.
So you were like Ricky Bobby when he signs his personal assistant. Like, you were just in work mode and just like, oh, Ted's here. Must be, how was the weekend?
Yeah.
Nope, it's Friday.
Yeah.
Ricky, don't sign my head.
I mean, that is like
a good thing. Like, you're just in the workflow of just like, right, I see a Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I know it's
zone. I got a 33% chance here. Yeah. But yeah, no, no joke. Like, when we don't podcast, I lose track of the day of the week, like 10 times more than I would otherwise. Get back in the workflow Friday. I think Friday night I was exhausted, I'm pretty sure. And Saturday, I worked a decent amount, came home. Tyler was a little sick, so I did some stuff around the house. I built a new dresser. That was tight. Listened to some podcasts, just kind of chilled. And then Sunday, she was feeling better. So that was my one day off. It was Sunday. And then the Seahawks were on the bye. So, like, you got to make that count with the girlfriend. We didn't get to give out the reminder because we were off last week unexpectedly. But, like, we go over this every season. If you've been listening for a long time, you know, get that bye week, make it count.
It was great for road tripping back because there was no pressure. It's like, yeah. There's nothing I have to watch today.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. We walked down to breakfast, Keedy's. Took Cobb there when he was in town. If you're ever in Palm Desert, it's a great breakfast spot.
You sent me a picture. I was like, I do like that spot.
It's an absolute banger.
Yeah.
It just like, looks like a spot where the old people that know, that's where they go for breakfast. Yep.
Oh,
it's
1957.
So they're just super legit. Got the ultimate omelet with everything in it. And ate half of Tyler's waffle and fueled up. We weren't sure where the rest of the day would head, but there had been talks, and then we ended up doing it. So Keedy's about a mile and a half down, mile and a half back. So we hoofed 3 miles to start the day. And then we went up to just above my work. There's a trail which goes all the way to Palm Springs, technically, if you follow it far enough and don't get lost. But it also turns and then goes down the mountain that we live on another trail, which then leads to the cross, which I took Cobb to when he was here. The cross is like a really popular touristy trail here. It's awesome. It's great. It's right in my front yard. And it's like a mile and a half up, mile and a half back. Great little hike. But we did the big hike where we start above my work, walk all the way around the golf course, and then go down that other trail, and come down, get to the cross, come down right to our front door. It's so sick to just have a one-way hike that ends at your front door. Like, I can't describe it. We got to the cross right at sunset, so we timed it perfectly, even with breakfast in the morning. And that was 8 miles, that hike. So 11 miles on the day.
Damn.
Yeah.
Cobb, how many miles you get in on Saturday?
Yeah, Cobb.
On Saturday?
I was happy with our 4.5. Matt over here pumped out 11.
Well, Ted, to be honest with you, I was drinking at Little Woodrow's with a bunch of Gator fans. And then what did we do? Oh, we had people in town. So, yeah, we went out. Yeah, I probably didn't leave like, a mile radius of my home.
All right. Well,
I did do yoga.
Right back I, did, on I didn't start Little the Woodrow's, day. Ted. I saw you. You're like, Woodrow's, damn.
Yeah, and they had a
you
DJ.
You said 3 miles after your breakfast. And I was like, nice work.
Yeah.
Like, I still got like a mile and a half on them. And then you said, we took the long route. I was like, mother.
Then we did, eight through the mountains, a bunch of elevations. There's one section with some switchbacks, but like, you know, it's there's views everywhere because you don't have all those trees from Washington. So like every step is just this insane view overlooking the entire valley. And in my case, I'm overlooking the golf course that I work at that I've played. And like, most people that play that golf course can't also hike this. Like, it's just it's not that bad for us, but it's a pretty demanding hike with some sketchy parts. And a lot of those people don't want to do 8 miles through the mountains. And so it's like, I don't know how many people have both played that golf course, which is pretty tough to do, and done this hike, which is also tough to do. But like, Tyler and I are two of those people. And then that's a real small section of humanity that has played that course and then looked down on that course for above, where these mansions look like tiny little houses because you're so high above them. And so it's just like overlooking my kingdom, right? Like, I live in this little 2.5 mile radius that, you know, is like this little slice of utopia that I love so much, and just overlooking it all and just like, going through this badass hike where, like I'm saying, like I did so many hikes in Washington where you hike up through the forest and the trees are beautiful and everything, but like, you're getting to a viewpoint. This is all a big viewpoint. And then 8 miles later, I'm at my front door. So it's just electrifying and like gratifying and just like filled me up great for the season. And even though my calves and ankles just started not throbbing today, like last couple days I've just been limping around the gym like, did 11 miles yesterday, guys. Like, what do you want?
Yeah, and you're not wrong. Like, I never really hiked till I moved out to the Northwest, but like, you know, Mount Si, but like, right, if you go anywhere else in the country, like, that viewpoint's awesome, but it does suck because it's just switchbacks and forest.
Yeah, this is like, there's only half a mile of switchbacks. The rest of it is just like steady incline or decline. You walk right by another golf course, which I know an insane backstory on. Relatively famous, super rich guy built it because, he's not a good golfer. He belongs to a lot of exclusive clubs here. And, but he's not good, and he slows up the pace of play, so he built his own course in the mountains, which is like, it's a beautiful one. It's so epic. I haven't played it, but I love seeing it. I'd like to play it eventually. You know, they have members. I know some members there. Eventually, I think I'll get up there. But Yeah, just looking over two super epic courses and all the views of the valley, it's the best. So it was an amazing Sunday.
Dope. Also, don't forget to stunt on people next summer. You know what I mean? Like, you're playing the course, they're like, ah, this and that hole. You can just be like, oh, you ever looked at it from that view? I know how this one plays.
You gotta earn that.
Right? Because in the middle of the summer when it's 120, I'd be like, you're insane, son. Why would I hike up there?
Yeah. I'm putting the name of the guy in the chat for you too, just for funsies. But yeah, it was I think the golf courses are incredible. They add to the landscape, the texture, and yeah, it's just fun to overlook my little bubble from a totally different perspective like that. And yeah, it was surreal.
Before you move on, before we move on to the cop topic, is golf getting too crowded, Matt? I mean,
Yes.
I just saw somebody I respect online that's a famous hockey player was like, what the f, man? Before the pandemic, and it's like, also, Miles told me before the pandemic, golf was really hurt. But it seems like now it's like the thing outside of paddleball,
Pickleball,
everybody golfs.
there's a movement online, the hashtags out there for shrink the game, which I am a proponent of, but I've carved out a little. My dad's club isn't actually that crowded. Like, there's a lot of clubs I've heard of in Arizona and other places where you're looking at, 50 plus, 50K plus to join, bunch of annual dues, and like you can't even get a tee time on a Saturday because it's so crowded. And guys are like snatching up the tee sheet whenever it's available online 2 weeks in advance. Like, so even at private clubs, they're overcrowded and it's tough to get on your own course that you're a partial owner of, which is insane to me. But I play in the summer when no one's here. And my dad's club is luckily it's not that expensive, but it's a great middle ground where it's not overcrowded and it's pretty good value, all things considered.
Let's talk more about it next week because I've also heard there's services out there that are just taking all the times.
I've heard about that too. But yeah, team shrink the game right here for sure. Now that I'm.
Sometimes things get too big. The only thing bigger than golf right now is Austin, Texas. It's time for
Boop, doop, 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 boop, boop. Calm
Off topic.
Chad, that was incredible. All right.
As he's describing it, like shrink the game, I'm like, you sound like a lot of people I met in Austin or people in Seattle.
So today, I work for myself, as people who listen know, and most days I wake up pretty motivated and pumped, but occasionally you don't have it in you, and sometimes those days coincide with days you actually need to get a lot of work done. So today was honestly a real struggle work-wise, and I was trying to get stuff done, but I just was not into it, so took a long time. And for some reason, all right, so okay, so for lunch, usually I grab a salad, but I went to this place that has these really good burgers, and of course, usually there's no one there I know. This girl walks over, not only says hi, sits down at my table, starts asking me all these questions, like, oh my God, I haven't seen you forever, whatever, da 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 da. And she's like, what are you doing here? And I was like, oh, I come here sometimes and get like a cheeseburger if I'm just like, And she's like, what do you mean? And I was like, oh, just like, I don't know, kind of a struggle meal. I was just having like a down day. And and she just like, you could see she was in such a happy, bubbly mood. And like in that moment, it dawned on her that I have my own feelings and experiences. And it was an absolute mood kill, boner kill 3000. But the cop topic this week is, what is your struggle meal when times get tough? As in, like, just what kind of, brings you back to even keel? Obviously not everyone medicates themselves with food, but if you do, or if you do have one, like, what's your go-to? Just like, oh, I'm down and out. Like, I just, I need this base building block to bring me back For me, typically that's ordering a pizza or getting a good cheeseburger at this place. So boys, and feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com. What is your struggle meal when times get tough?
I don't think mine will shock you.
Ted, you were looking at me like, what? This has never happened before. At first, I was like, Ted doesn't have a struggle meal? Oh my God.
No, I don't know if it's good or bad. My struggle meal is the same as my celebration meal. Like, let's go to pizza.
Nice. Oh, I thought your celebration meal was going to be Maryland blue crab.
Well, that'd be next level. I do have a frozen blue crab pizza in there I need to cook. I've also say this, like I've been in some spots, especially in the last year. There was one day I was just, it was a struggle. I told somebody, I was like, I'm going to go to QFC, buy a bottle of Jameson. And then the next day, my buddy was like, how much of that Jameson you go through? I was like, I didn't. I was too upset. I ordered Pagliacci's.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Oh, man.
It was a PSR for the record.
Nice. Yeah, dude, you had one of the best Pagliacci's quotes of all times. I can't say it on the podcast, but I know you're a fan.
Yeah.
You know, I would say I eat a lot of In-N-Out as it is, so that's just like so ubiquitous in my life that I don't associate it with a struggle meal, but sometimes it'll turn me around a little bit. I haven't needed a struggle meal in a while.
Bro, don't hit me with the life is too good inside of the compound walls.
He's eating extra waffles for fun.
It's like, dude. Yeah, dude. Oh, and amongst all these $50 million houses on this beautiful golf course,
it's all grateful indulgences with me.
I haven't struggled in years.
If I had to pick one, because it was like $17 for the combo last time or something. I haven't been there in a long time, but I used to always get it as a kid after hockey games, and it's just a little, you know, grittier, I would say, would be the Carl's Jr. bacon Swiss chicken sandwich combo with waffle fries.
Now that's a real answer. Thank you.
You know what? I say pizza, but Matt has a good point. Like
there's levels.
Yeah. I would say the 20-piece nugget still has a spot in my heart.
Exactly, dude. The 20-piece nug is like the breakup.
I've had four McChickens in the past month. It's been like years since I had those, but that was just because I kept seeing the chicken Big Macs. But then I also saw McChickens were 2 for $4, and they're like $3.50 now or something for one usually. So I was like, McChickens are back on like an actual deal that I go, nice. So I've been to McDonald's twice to get two McChickens in the past month. But again, that's just good old fashioned fun. Just having a good day and like, yeah, give me two McChickens. Let's rock.
With all that said, Cobb, I'm with you though. If it's like lunchtime, you're right. I would rarely get a burger at lunch. If I got a burger at lunch, like, you all right, man?
Yeah. Exactly. I was down bad, boys.
Right. So you're right. Lunch spot burger, unless you're like out with like work friends, like, hey, you're right. Lunch to me is always kind of grab something and go. Talking salads, wraps, what, you know what I mean? Like, let's keep it moving. But you're right. The old man's just sitting down, having a day. I'm just going to enjoy this burger and get my mind right. In my mind. Then she sat down right then.
Pretty much. Yeah. And like, she had like rainbow hair. It was super bubbly and fun. I was just like, not now. Any other time. Because I do actually really like her. She's awesome. But it was awful timing.
I will
and
say,
you hate to let someone down who's in a good mood too, but you got to keep it real.
Spencer, right? I know that is the worst. You like, it's like you do you really want to know? It is bad.
Like, yeah, it's bad out there.
Right? Like, just I need this day. Also, I will say, when we were at Rennie's, I don't know if it's a podcast guy or a men's room guy, walking down the stairs, one dude was like, Ted, and I was like, what's up, man? He's like, Ted Smith, and he's like, I was like, yeah, and he's like, what are you doing here? And I was like, look at the sweatshirt. He's like, yep, my bad.
He's just like, he probably meant more.
He probably meant more. He, I don't think he said my bad. He probably meant more of like, what are you doing in Rennie's?
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, you know, the shoe fits.
Yeah. Well, plus it's nice to have random people say hello to you when you got family in town in Eugene.
That is awesome.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll be back next week. Matt, for a change, I already wrote down tee times when I have this conversation. We're talking about golf. Shrink the game, grow the game, just go to Topgolf. All right. For MCTP, for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.